Has anyone here ever wanted to change the world? How about change your world? Has anyone here ever wanted to change your world? I like the way Morgan Freeman and Evan Almighty puts it. One small random act of kindness at a time will change the world. If you wonder where to start, it's kind of like the old question of how do you eat an elephant, right? One bite at a time. Something that is so overwhelming, it's just hard to even know where to start, right? Just the point of that segment is one small random act of kindness at a time will do. I think everyone at some point in their life, they have dreams of changing the world. I know I did. That's why I was interested in becoming a chemist. And that's why, other than feeling God's call in my life, I wanted to become a pastor, because I believed I could help people see the need for a relationship with their Creator. If I could help them see that Jesus is needed to bring hope and healing to the world. If I could help them see that the church has the answers that they're looking for. If I could help them, if I could help people see that they are not alone in this world. I believed with God's help I could change the world. That's also one reason why I love the theology of John Wesley so much. He believed that personal holiness, that is your relationship with Jesus Christ, and social holiness, which is works of service to your neighbor. They worked hand in hand, he believed. He brought it all together in what we call the three principles for a Christian. These three practical ways that work for you to invest in your Christian journey, your spiritual walk with God. We Methodists call them the three general rules. You might have heard them before. Wesley's three general rules. Let's read these together. Do no harm, do good, do things that bring you closer to God. Seems pretty easy, doesn't it? Let's read those again. Do no harm, do good, do things that bring you closer to God. Just like the Apostle Paul said in our scripture for today, you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, Paul says, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. You know, in just like this scripture, John Wesley says to do no harm, to avoid evil of every kind. That's what he means by do no harm, to avoid evil of every kind, to do good, to do as much good as possible, right? And to do things that bring you closer to God, such as prayer, such as Bible study, such as corporate worship, etc. Wesley claimed that one way to do good was to visit the sick and the poor. In one of Wesley's sermons, number 98, very creative in their sermon titles, the actual sermon title that Wesley chose for this one is On Visiting the Sick. He thought hours and hours on his sermon titles back in that day. You have to understand that Wesley preached this in the 1700s. And also that he was a very direct person. And let me tell you what I mean by direct. Many call his first mission trip to the colonies a failure. And here is one thing, probably the primary thing, that made it a failure. And what that was is he believed he took, not only is he a practical theologian, but he took things literally, right? And so he would have these revivals among the colonies, and babies would come up to be baptized, right? And he wouldn't just baptize the babies. He would baptize the infants in the name of the Father, dunk them, right? In the name of the Son, Are you catching on here? In the name of the Holy Spirit, right? And for some reason, moms didn't like that very well. Now, I know that nowadays, some 400 years later or 300 years later, it has been 400 years, hasn't it? Some people take their infants and put them in pools and watch them swim on their own. That's an interesting concept. But back then, that was completely foreign, right? Made them totally mad. So this is one of the things that Wesley did, trying to be faithful, but yet the way he did it many times was not necessarily the best way to get along with people. So as I read this sermon, you'll hear what I'm talking about. He was very direct. And in this sermon, he entitled On Visiting the Sick, he said this, quote, "One great reason why the rich in general have so little sympathy for the poor is because they so seldom visit them. Hence, it is that according to the common observation, one part of the world does not know what the other suffers. Many of them do not know because they do not care to know. They keep out of the way of knowing it and then plead their voluntary ignorances and excuse for the hardness of heart. Indeed, sir, said person of large substance, I am a very compassionate man, but to tell you the truth, I do not know anyone in the world that is in want." Wesley says, how did this come to pass? Why, he took good care to keep out of their way, Wesley said. And if he fell upon any of them unawares, quote, he passed over on the other side. I hope that rings a bell to a scripture that Jesus talks about. Remember what I'm talking about? Who is it that comes across someone who's injured and walks by on the other road, on the other side of the road? You remember? Yeah, the story of the Good Samaritan, right? Yeah, so he passed over on the other side. So in other words, this rich person went out of the way, literally, to not know poor people and how they suffer. Now, I know we don't do that anymore, do we? I mean, we're in the 21st century, right? We, as a people, especially as a Christian people, and specifically as us here in Warsaw, United Methodist Church, we would never cross on the other side of the road to avoid someone who is in need, would we? That was kind of supposed to be funny. But you see, Wesley wouldn't let people off the hook that easy. Instead, he would challenge them directly. Here's what Wesley said. Of course you don't know any poor people. You know exactly where they are, and you do everything you can to avoid them. That was Wesley's response. My response would be, ouch, right? I mean, don't you just hate the way Wesley beats around the bush? I really wish that he would just speak his mind. Don't you? He went on to claim that when we go to visit the sick or the poor or the imprisoned, they benefit from our visit, but we also benefit ourselves. Amen? Anyone who has gone on a VIM trip or a youth mission trip or gone to visit folks that are in prison over here next door or whatever it is in service, worked on a Habitat for Humanity home, for instance, or helped out their neighbor or the church, understand this. Wesley insisted on people going and doing good for others in person. He said there's nothing wrong with sending money or sending somebody else to help out, but he also emphasized that you can only get that benefit from helping others if you go to serve. And he said you might assist somebody from afar, but you'd miss the chance to grow in humility, to grow in patience, to grow in tenderness of spirit, and in sympathy with those in need. And this is the key to the second guideline, encouraging people to do all the good you can. That was something that helped everybody, not just the people that the good is being done unto, but also those doing the good. The people being served benefited in obvious ways, but the person doing the serving was also impacted by the service. At one point in his life, John Wesley summed up the second guideline in a pretty clever way, and this is what he said. Let's read it together. Do all the good you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, for as long as ever you can. He just didn't leave anything out there, did he? In other words, do good at all times, right? Do all the good you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, for as long as ever you can. Sometimes we say, but I pray for a servant's heart all the time, or I pray for patience, or I pray for better relationships with people, etc. And you know, I really like the point that Morgan Freeman, playing God, raises in this clip. And it's Evan's wife and kids sitting at this diner. Here it is.
What is he? He's a mook.
Jerks.
Don't worry about it, you guys. Come on, eat up.
I'm not hungry.
No, me neither.
You guys can't eat, I can't stop.
Can you go to the bathroom?
Me too.
Okay, Dylan, go with them. Please?
Fine.
Oh, excuse me, can I get a refill, please?
Coming right up.
Thank you.
Excuse me, are you all right?
Yeah. No, it's a long story.
Well, I like stories. I'm considered a bit of a storyteller myself.
My husband? Have you heard of New York's Noah?
The guy who's building the ark.
That's him.
I love that story. Noah and the ark. You know, a lot of people miss the point of that story. They think it's about God's wrath and anger. They love it when God gets angry.
What is the story about then, the ark?
Well, I think it's a love story. About believing in each other. You know, the animals showed up in pairs. They stood by each other, side by side. Just like Noah and his family. Everybody entered the ark, side by side.
But my husband says God told him to do it. What do you do with that?
Sounds like an opportunity. Let me ask you something. If someone prays for patience, you think God gives them patience? Or does it give them the opportunity to be patient? If they prayed for courage, does God give them courage? Or does it give them opportunities to be courageous? If someone prayed for the family to be closer, do you think God zaps them with warm, fuzzy feelings? Or does it give them opportunities to love each other? Well, I gotta run. A lot of people to serve. Enjoy.
What do you think about that? Or have you ever thought about that? When you pray for God to give you the gift of patience, do you ever consider the fact that maybe God gave you opportunities to be patient? Whenever you pray for courage in your life to make a decision, did you ever think that maybe God gave you an opportunity or opportunities to be courageous in your faith? You see, God does give each of us great opportunities. Amen? Whether our eyes are open to them or not, they are around us each and every day. They're around us right now. There are opportunities for you to expand that gift that God has given you, to show off God's glory. Amen? What are those opportunities in your life? The Apostle Paul says, you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right. Let us not grow weary in doing what is right. Let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family. Wait a minute, did you hear that? So, the Apostle Paul says in verse 10, whenever we have a what? Let us work for the good of all, especially for those of the family of faith. And where are our opportunities, folks? Everywhere. If you don't know where to start, simply start with random acts of kindness. Small, relatively small things to help you put one foot in front of the other. And I promise you, in a week or a month or a year, you'll be amazed at what you can accomplish. Let's pray. Dear God, we give you thanks and praise for this day. We celebrate your amazing gifts that are in each of our lives. You anoint us in ways, God, that we haven't even considered. You strengthen us and give us opportunity to show courage and patience, leadership, all the things, everything that you ask us to do, God, you guide and direct and give us opportunities to fulfill. So I ask you, God, at this point to anoint us fully in Jesus' name. Guide us in your will, each and every one of us, and as a church, guide us in your will, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.